So hello, everybody, and welcome to our Practice Accelerator training call. It's the last one of 2020, and I'm excited to be talking to you about a subject that's near and dear to my heart. It may be something that you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. But it is something that I want to clarify what's involved with doing it. It is a lot of work to put on an online event. And when I say an online event, I don't mean just like a webinar for an hour and a half. A lot of you have done that already. But I mean like a day or a multi-day online event. And these are more and more popular now because of the pandemic situation, and a lot more people are taking their live events and putting them online. We started doing this a few years ago, like 2.5 years ago, and we actually eliminated one of our live events, the one called Spring Into Vitality, so that we could go online and do it that way because it's a lot less work and a lot less money. We still planned to do our Shine event once a year, live, but you know, the environment and situation got the better of us. So we've done actually two Shines online. And so I want to share with you all the steps that are involved, not all the steps, obviously, but a lot of what's involved when you decide to do this. This isn't something you say, hey, I'm going to do this live event in a month. No, there's a lot of steps and there's a lot of things to be involved. When we first started doing it, we started to promote them about 6 weeks in advance, and we didn't have no problem filling them. You want to at least give people 6 weeks in advance because if it's a multi-day, because they have to plan it in their schedule. Even if it's a half day or a full day, it's planning. It takes more than just an evening webinar. So we started giving people 6 weeks, and this year we're going to actually do it a couple of months in advance, or 2.5 months in advance, just because there's so much competition, if you will, right now for people's time. There's a lot of online events. So you want yours to be on the radar before someone else's gets there, and then they can't do it because of a conflict. So I've been doing live events for... my first one was 2013, so 8 years. And when I first did it, I don't want you to make the mistakes that I made. When I first did it, I decided I'm going to do an event. And I see everybody does 3-day events. I've never done a multi-day event. So I decided to do a 3-day event. And we started planning it about 6 months in advance. We ended up filling it really well. It was probably our best attended event yet. It's crazy. But we had about 120 people show up for that very first event. And yeah, there were lots of mistakes along the way, and we've learned a lot since then. And I want to share some of those little trials and tribulations and pitfalls. The advantage of doing an online event versus a local event is that people can come from all over the world, right? They don't have to get in the airplanes. They don't have to fly. Plus, it gives you the credibility and the visibility across the world instead of just in your local area. So I highly recommend them. I think it says my screen sharing is paused. Hang one second. It says my screen sharing is paused. So I'm going to stop the share and I'm going to start it again. Let's see. Why did it say that? Share screen. And I'm going to go here. I'll have to edit in those slides. Okay, so we want to do this around the world. You want to get credibility and visibility, not just in your local area, but around the world. So there's a lot of advantages to doing an online event. So there's also a lot of work and a lot of decisions that you're going to make. So I put together a little flowchart kind of thing. It's not really a flowchart. It's kind of a circular chart. But what is it that you want to get? What result that you want to get by doing this? And we'll get into some of those decisions. These are the steps, and we're going to go through these and drill down into these in a little bit more deeply. So what's your CTA, call to action? What do you want your people to do and feel by the end of this event? And that's how you map it out. Like everything you do to map out this event should be based on your CTA, your call to action. So you pick a theme that's going to lead them to that call to action. You can't just say, hey, I want to do a live event on genetic testing for celiac disease or genetic testing for whatever. You can't just pick that and then go, okay, now I want them to sign up for my program on skin health. How do I connect them, right? You want your theme to be connected well to your CTA so that it makes sense and you can plan the content so there's a logical flow. And then what are the steps it's going to take to get them to realize, I need this online program on skin health? What are the steps they need to do? They have to recognize that there's solutions. They have to recognize their pain. And you're going to outline those steps. You're going to map out the learning segments based on what you want them to feel and do at the end. And then the steps that it's going to take there, right? Okay, so you have an hour on this and a half an hour on that and whatever. You want to brainstorm interactive activities because you don't want to just stand up and talk to them at them for 2 days. So interactive activities are phenomenal. And you determine the length of your program and yeah, you've got it made. Now I'm going to drill down. Yeah, basic stuff, but let's go down to what really needs to happen and what do you need to be thinking? Why is this not moving? Okay, there we go. So first thing you should decide is what's the type of event? What do you want to get out of the end of it? Is it a lead gen? You just want to build an audience and get people to opt in and come to your event and you have them in an audience that you can then market to later? Is it a money-making event? Do you want to sell the tickets at a price that when you add it all up, you've made a decent amount of money doing it? Or is it an enrollment event where you may not make much money, if any, on selling the tickets, but you enroll them into your next step? Now, with live events versus virtual live events, online live events, the money-making capacity is much greater online. So for example, if I do an event and it's 2 or 3 days long, I've got to rent a venue, whether it's a hotel or a meeting center or whatever, I have to pay that out for that. I have my team, because you can't do it by yourself, you have team costs, you have a lot of things for getting it set up. Whereas an online event, there's not a lot of costs, right? There don't have to be. Our very first online event, we sold, I think it was 400 or 500 tickets to it. And everybody paid us very little. We didn't charge a lot. We paid either $47 or $97, depending on when they signed up. We ended up making $25,000 before we even showed up. And this was cool. So if at the worst, I didn't sell anybody into my next program, I would have been ahead of the game. Like, let's look at an event if you're doing it in a hotel. If I do it in a hotel, there's the cost of the hotel. They usually have what's called food and beverage minimum. So you have to agree to buy a certain amount of food to cover the rental of the room, or you have to pay several thousand dollars a day to rent the room. Either way, what we've discovered is that the timing and the cost and everything involved, like you want to get it recorded. How much does it cost if you have an online event? Well, if you do it on Zoom, it's just your $15 a month or whatever you pay for Zoom. If you want to get it recorded when it's live, you have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to a team that's going to record it for you, right? So with the online events, you can be making money, even if you sell your tickets really low, you can be making money before you go in. But a money-making event would be like a transformational type thing where you're doing a 2-day retreat type thing and it's a small intimate group and you're charging people $500 to $1,000 to attend. An enrollment event usually has a lower price tag because you're banking on people getting enrolled in your course and you want to get as many people as you can to come to it. So you have to decide what's your call to action at the end. What is it that you want to plan and how you want to plan your event? So there's a lot of decisions to make, right? This is not a decision light process. Well, you have to decide on scheduling. When are you going to do this event? And you have to give yourself enough lead time. You can't just say, I'm going to do this in 2 weeks. You have to give yourself enough lead time to do all the work that it takes. How long is going to be the event and how much time each day? Are you going to do a 3-day event that's 5 hours a day? Are you going to do a 3-day event that's 8 hours a day? Are you going to do a two-day event that's, 4 hours a day? What is it? And you're going to decide these based on what you need to teach, based on the segments you need to be able to present for the CTA, the call to action. And let me give you a little bit of a guideline here. The higher the cost, the investment in your program at the end, the longer you need to flush it out and build rapport with people so that they're excited and they trust you and they're going to sign up. So it's really difficult if you have a $3,000 program that you want to sell at the end of this event to do that in 2 hours. You can do it. Good marketers can. But when you're first starting out, it's really hard. But if you have a four-hour event, selling a $2,000 to $3,000 program is not that difficult because you can build the rapport. If you have a two-day event, you can probably even have a higher ticket item at the end, like $5,000 or more at the end of that event and be able to sell it. So going back to my very first live event, in-person live event, it was 2 days. We had about 120 people in there. Of those 120 people, there was a lot of people that maybe weren't eligible, but really, probably half of them were eligible. Some of them were, friends and family members and people already in programs. So let's just say there were 50 people that were eligible buyers. So at the end of this, I worked on this for 3 days, right? We worked with them. We did exercises. They got rapport. They got to know each other. And then when we made this offer at the end of the second day, we got 10 or 12 people to sign up. And the range of the offer was anywhere from, I think it was like 3,000 up to 10,000, something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers. So that was a profitable event. That was a very successful event, all right? So then you want to determine based on what you're trying to enroll them in at the end, how long it should be, how long each day. Make sure you have breaks built in, even though it's online. It's really helpful for people when they get a break and they can go outside and they can go to the kitchen and they can make food. So what we did is we mapped out our days for our online event to be very similar to what we would do in person. So we started at 9 a.m. and we went until 10:30. We took a half an hour break. We got back together. We went to 12:30. Then we took another an hour break for lunch or sometimes longer. And so we mapped it out. So it was just like we would do in person, giving people plenty of time to get out. We also set it up so people could network during the breaks. And that's a more advanced concept. But what we did was we used this concept of breakout rooms in Zoom so that people could, there's a lunchroom over here, click this link and go over there. So those are things, it's just a little more complicated. If you're doing your first event, I recommend you keep it as simple as you can. Then you got to decide, are you going to give them handouts? Are you going to give them copies of your slides if you're using slides? Are you going to give them worksheets? Highly recommend that there's some worksheets that you give them and you have them do it throughout because that creates interaction. Is there some pre-work? At one time when we did one of our three-day events, we gave them some assessments to fill out in advance. And then they brought them and then we had some activities that used those. And if they didn't have time, we always would say, on the break, fill out this assessment to make sure that some people don't do it in advance. Are there follow-up sessions? We usually do at least one follow-up session after an event to bring people back together to reinforce the learning, but also reinforce the call to action if they haven't taken it yet. And then bonuses, like do you offer them bonuses, early signup bonuses? You're trying to fill your event and it's a month away. Maybe the first week, you're offering these extra bonuses to incentivize people to sign up right away so you know how many people are coming. Do you offer recordings? Do you offer a VIP option? We usually bundle those together and we'll offer recordings as part of a VIP option when it's online. So they get the recordings, they get the handouts, but some professionals, some experts say don't offer the recordings. You can offer it after, but don't let them know that you're offering the recordings because you don't want them to skip out on certain sessions, right? Because you want them to be there when you're making your offer. So the pluses or minuses, I would say we do offer the recordings, but they don't get the recordings for a while after because it takes a while to do that. So we recommend that they stay and they are in there. And we have most of the people do stay most of the time. But what do you want to do with the recordings? For us, we've made some decent money selling the recordings, right? It adds up. So you have to weigh those options and play it both ways. Is there a VIP option? Is there something special you're going to do? This time we sent a special box with goodies in it for our VIPs, and they paid extra. They paid $300 extra to do the VIP option, and that gave them the recordings and the slides and all that and some extra trainings, and that got them a box that they got in the mail. And we got about 100-ish people to do that. So that's another, it adds up. Do you want to have sponsors? Do you want to reach out to sponsors that work with you? If you're doing skincare, are there some really good natural skincare products? Are there particular supplement companies that you could reach out to and say, hey, I'm doing this event. What we started out doing, we didn't charge for sponsorships. We just said, hey, if you want to be a sponsor here, you'll get promotion to our people. But what we want you to do is to contribute something that we can raffle or that we can include in a goodie bag. And that was when it was in person. Right? And we've done that with raffles as well. You've probably seen that when you've come to our events. Do you want speakers or do you want to do it all yourself? Right? There's advantages and disadvantages, right? You get a break and you get some action. You can also get, if you have speakers that don't offer something that's competitive, but offer something that's complimentary, it's really great because then they can promote to their list. I think we had probably of all the people that came to our most recent online event, I would guess that maybe 15 or 20 of them came through the speakers or affiliates that sent out for us. And then what's your marketing plan? This is the hardest part. How are you going to fill the event? What we've done is we'll do a webinar that is a topic that's closely related to what we're going to teach at the event. And then at the end of the webinar, we say, hey, we've got this, we don't have a time to go into all the depth we need to here. But why don't you sign up for this next event that we have coming up? It's on this date, and here it is. It's this long, and here's the, what you're going to learn. And then we offer it that way. I usually undercharge for things. I could have probably charged more, but what we did was we offered the event tickets. When it was for consumers, we offered it for less than what we offered it for the practitioners. So for practitioners, we offered it at $97. Buy it now and it's $97. It's like a steal, right? A three-day event for $97. For consumers, we actually cut it in half and offered it for half that the first night. And you have to sign up tonight. And we ended up getting 300 people signed up the very first night because we created the urgency. And I'll talk about that in a bit. So what is your marketing plan? Who are you going to market to? Are you going to get affiliates to promote for you? Are you just going to market it to your list? Are you going to take out Facebook ads? Are you going to do Facebook Lives or Instagram events where you're talking about it and then you give them the call to action, which is to join and come to the event? I'm not a fan of giving free tickets to an event. I know colleagues who've done it. I know one who did it and he got like 3,500 people to sign up and only 400 showed up, right? So when you do that, people just don't take it seriously. I'll discount it, but $50 to people, a lot of people, that's a lot of money. They don't wanna not show up and miss out on it, right? So these are all the things to consider. I've done this. I've done this 8 times as live events. I've done it 3-5 times as multi-day online events. And I can support you in doing this for yourself. So ready, set, go. What do you have to do? Okay. Map out your timeline. Map out your marketing plan. But what else do you need? You need a registration system. How are you going to get them to register? With Zoom, you can actually use Zoom as a registration system. But you can't use it for, no, you can't use it for a paid event. So you have to have something. So you may need PayPal, Infusionsoft, something that you can set up where people fill out the form, they pay their money, they're in your system, and then you can send them reminder emails. You need a platform. Zoom works really well, but there are others. I mean, you could do Webinar Jam. You can do some of these other smaller platforms. And then there's others that are big commercial platforms. But Zoom is cost effective. For $15 a month, you can get up to 100 people. For $40 a month, I think it is, you can get up to 500 people. So it's really worth it. And if you only need the larger scale for when you're doing the event, you just pay for it for a month. You don't have to keep paying for it. So it's very flexible and I've used it. There's some limitations to Zoom though. Limitations we didn't have when we were doing things on Webinar Jam. That is, you can't pin a comment to the top. So if you want everybody to take a specific action in Webinar Jam, you can just put it a comment and pin it to the top of the stream so everybody sees it. Like, here's the link to register. Here's the link to download this handout. So you need that. You need to figure out how you're going to handle if you're giving out handouts. Are you going to post them to a page in advance? Are you going to send them to them by email? Are you going to post a link in the chat? There's a lot of ways that you can do that. And then what do you need for assistance? Because you can't do this by yourself. It doesn't work that way. So I have a few more things I want to say, and then I'll open up for questions, because a lot of this regards to what are you trying to do, and I can support you, and I want to do a half day event, I want to do a 2 day event, et cetera. But assistance is important. Now, what we did for our very first event, because we didn't have a big team, we offered free tickets to the event for people who were willing to come and be our assistants. Right? So we had people who would escort people to chairs, people who would run around with the mics, people who would help with registration, and they got free access to the event. So you can do that with online as well. You can find people who, you know, you trust, or you can find family members or friends if you don't have a team yet or a large enough team. You need, I would say, to do an online event, plan on at least three people to help you, at least three people. Okay. Well, this last event, I think we had 8 or 10. We had a lot. Too much is not good either. But I would say 2 to 3 people at minimum, depending on the size of your event. If you're doing a 200, 300, 400 person event, you're going to need 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Okay. If you're doing like a 50 person event or a 20 person event, you're not going to need one person could probably help you with that. So it all depends on what you need. Okay. What else? So I want you to come up with what's your secret sauce, right? Mine is the nutritional endocrinology method. We're going to get that trademark, but that's what you guys are learning in our program or have learned and have graduated from. And that's how I teach. I have a specific framework of what I teach. So if you're doing menopause, you have this menopause system. Like, how do you take people through getting over their menopause symptoms? So you're doing skin. What is it? Your unique skin system. What are the steps you do? So I've been playing around with graphics recently, and I revamped my pyramid, and I put it this way. And it's more 3D. It's just a template from a PowerPoint. It's a template. I paid about $75 for a set of templates. And it's really cool because I don't know how to do this thing that looks like shadows. Like, I wouldn't know how to do that. And it looks great. So I revamped my system. So this is the nutritional endocrinology method. This is how we work with people. And another part of the nutritional endocrinology method I put together is, this is the hierarchy. We're not people who just go, oh, you need isolated nutrients. You need these herbs. You need these. We got to balance their lifestyle and their food at the base. And then we can add herbs and nutrients and bioidentical hormones if needed. So this is my system. This is how I work with people. And this is how I teach you guys to work with people. What's your system? What is the way that you work with people that you want them to walk away with? And it could be a cute name, whatever you want it to be, but you want them to remember you, that they learned it from you. Oh, there's this really cool autoimmune system, or there's this really cool gut repair system. What do you call it? And how does that work? And I just want to end with, it's really important that when you set up your programs that you're offering at these events, but also when you're offering people to come to the event, that you do bonuses, and then you do them in a way that answers the question, why now? Why should they do this now? Why can't they wait for another whatever amount of time? Why now? So there's limiters. So the limiter can be, there's a $50 coupon code that you can use for the next 48 hours. The price is going up to double if you don't sign up tonight. That's what I did on the first time. I said, right now, if you sign up by the end of this webinar, I'm going to give you this event, this whole event for $47. And boom, people are like, thank you, thank you, thank you. It might be a bonus that goes away. It may be a bonus that you only have a few of. Maybe you have a kit of some sort. Maybe you have, you know, some herbs or some supplements, or maybe it's just a digital bonus, but you don't want to give it to everybody. Why now? This goes away at the end of this time. Real limiters are important, because then people really get it. So I've done this thing where the limiter was, there's only 3 seats left in this class. I'm limiting this class to only 10 people. If you sign up before the end of here, you're going to get this for free as a bonus. I've done it with coupons. I've done it with I have a USB drive. I have a certain number of USB drives with this content on it. And for the first 7 people, you're going to get this. Why? Because I have 7, right? I'm not going to go out and be up more. So that kind of thing works really well. And that's it. I'm hoping for some really good interaction and questions based on this. So let me stop my share. I kind of ran through it. I would have gone through it a lot more slowly if we had a bunch of people on asking specific questions about your own, but at least now you have the educational piece of it and you can ask questions. Like, Valerie, have you thought about doing a live event?
Actually, I have. And that is one of the things with this book. It's not just with, it's just not having a book, but it's book to business. So yep. One of my assignments is to actually present or have some kind of seminar workshop. I've decided to do a workshop, and mm-hmm. I've already put the date to be the May the 15th. It's a 2-hour workshop, and it will be free, but it'll be to get enrolled in a program. So all this has been helpful because we also, as a group, have to present an actual program virtually. March the 3rd, I believe, is the date. And so I have that going on. So this will be a great help in going back through this and living through those steps to make sure that we're hitting all of the things that need to be hit. Yeah. And making sure that we're doing it in enough time ahead. And I'm still going to do my skin thing, but I pushed it back to April. So I really want to make sure that I have all the pieces together. Content is not an issue. It's the back end that I want to make sure that's correct.
So, awesome. Awesome. And when you say a program at the end, what kind of program are you going to be offering?
For which one?
You said you were going to do May 15th. You were going to do a 2-hour event.
So that one,
whoops, you froze. Oops, you froze. Oh, well. All right. Well, Valerie dropped off. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap this up with bring this to our mastermind calls and we'll plan it out for you. If you're planning on an event, I will help you to choose the length of time. I will help you to choose the marketing plan and we can work on this. So now you have the general idea of what's involved. I find them to be very lucrative. Online events have been very lucrative for us. You think about if people come and spend money to come to your event, like say they flew, like we had to get a lot of people fly in from all over. They've basically shot their wad, so to speak, right? They've spent a lot of money to get to the event and they may not have the discretionary funds anymore to be able to sign up for your program. So we've found that we get better results, better sales at of high-end programs. I'm not talking low-end programs at our online events than we do at our in-person events. And that might be why it's a larger group of people that come, right? We can get 400, 500, 600 people signing up for an online event versus a live event. It's much smaller. So that's where we're at with that. And I find them to be more lucrative and I would love to support you guys in doing one. Don't recommend starting with a 3-day. And in fact, we may go back to just doing 2-day onlines because we found that our 2-day event was less work and more profitable overall. So we may stick to 2-day events and you lay it out differently. And there's a lot to it. Like, when do you do your offer? And I can share all of that as we, you know, brainstorm it with each of you individually. So thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to have a wonderful holiday. And I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye-bye.